We're in San Francisco this week, where the median rent for a one-bedroom apartment is nearly $3,500 a month. That's the most expensive rent in the country. Take a walk around San Francisco's financial district, and you'll see cranes and construction crews working on towering high-rise condo projects. But as we've been hearing, all this development comes with a price. Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd reports.
The elevator at One Rincon Hill goes up and up and up until it reaches an ear-popping 52nd floor. Realtor Matt Finley has a key to an empty unit that's between renters.
So it's a three-bedroom. It's about 2,000 square feet. So pretty spacious, very upscale, granite, marble, open floor plans, and then views.
Oh my gosh.
Views really to die for.
Oh my gosh.
It's just exceptional.
That is an understatement. The Bay Bridge stretching toward Oakland is about 500 feet below us. Sailboats look like toy boats from up here.
This building is really one of the more identifiable high-rise luxury buildings in the city just because its location. Mm-hmm. We're starting on a hill, and it really is kind of the icon of San Francisco.
And who could afford to live on this hill? Well, Finley says the owner is a pharmaceutical executive from China. The last tenant paid $12,000 a month in rent, but the price is going up.
You could get three techies living here paying, maybe $7,000 a piece to rent a place like this, just grinding it out on computers, programming, and that's common.
Finley introduced me to a few people who live in this building. One owner getting ready to sell his unit tells me he'll ask for about $1 million more than what he bought it for 6 years ago. I also met this guy.
My name's Rahul. I'm the CEO and founder of a company called Superhuman.
That's an email system for professionals. Rahul Vorha says it's not the first company he started in San Francisco. He sold that one to LinkedIn.
So there was a little bit of an exit event. Folks did well. Everyone was very happy.
An exit event, that's what it's called.
Yes, I guess that's technical jargon. So we exited the company. Investors got their money back and then some, and everyone did well.
Well enough to move out of his luxury rental at One Rincon Hill and into a place of his own around the corner.
It's going to be the shortest move of all time, about 20 meters away. I fell in love with this place as soon as I walked in. Beautiful east and south facing windows. I think one of the best one bedrooms on the market in this area right now.
Vorha wouldn't tell me how much he paid, but his offer was 40% above asking price. Vorha says he knew from previous failed bids that if he wasn't aggressive, he'd lose his chance.
I lost out on one place due to being too slow, and I lost out on another place due to coming in too low. You learn each of those lessons once, I think. And then the third time I was like, okay, I'm going to be really fast and very aggressive.
And were you coming in with all cash or with...
This wasn't all cash offer.
It's offers like this that are driving growth in a city where the sound of new construction is everywhere. In fact, it's downright overwhelming outside Peter Cohen's office.
And now they're boring down below and breaking up the old foundation.
It's going to drive you crazy.
Hey, the sound of progress. He says with a wry grin.
Cohen is an affordable housing advocate who sees a darker side to the luxury towers going up across the city.
It's kind of shocking, actually. I mean, it raises the question of who is actually absorbing or buying or renting all this housing.
City planners are trying to keep track of affordability with something called a housing balance report. And the last one in September showed something interesting. When you count up the apartments that lost their rent-controlled status in the past decade, just 15% of the city's new development was affordable to people with low or moderate incomes. But the question is, what does affordable even mean anymore?
And this has become one of the latest big debates. In fact, it's become extremely politicized. For the course of time, over the last 30, 40 years, affordable housing has primarily been for very low and low-income folks because they are the ones who have been, if you will, permanently locked out of the market.
But Cohen says housing prices have gotten so high that even families making 140% of San Francisco's median income have trouble getting by. That's a family of four taking home $143,000 a year.
Now there's an argument that those folks are just as much in need as the folks who are down around, you know, 50% of the median income, who are, you know, scraping to get by working in the local restaurant industry. And the fact is we have a market that has structurally left so many San Franciscans behind that we've had to, you know, embrace this broad spectrum of folks.
Can you hear? Can you hear me here?
This 84-year-old is among those feeling left behind.
So my name is Marilyn Fowler, and I'm being evicted.
Fowler has called a group of friends and neighbors together at this coffee shop in The Hate, a neighborhood known around the world as the quirky epicenter of pot smoke and free love.
We do not want to see this neighborhood taken over by greed, and that's what this is all about.
You could call this meeting a mini-protest. Fowler says on November 1st, her rent is going from $1,200 a month to $3,500. She lives on Social Security, and she can't pay a rent that high. She's found a lawyer to plead her case.
To begin with, I was kind of personally crushed. Like, why would he do this to me? He's literally throwing me on the street.
As Fowler and her friends leave the coffee shop, we take a short walk to the apartment where she's been living for 2 decades.
Have you gotten to the point yet where you thought, if I lose this battle, what will you do? Where will you go?
I don't know. You know, that's why I'm traumatized all the time, is that, and I don't want to move and then move and keep moving. I mean, that's terribly. I have a lot of physical issues, so I can't pack up 23 years of things. And then where would I put them? You know, would I have to pay storage and live in a little dark hole someplace?
In a way, Fowler is a symbol of the crisis. Advocates say eviction notices are up 55% over the past 5 years as landlords try to cash in on skyrocketing property values. If Fowler can't come up with the money, she may be next. And she's clear about who's to blame.
You know, I don't want to point the finger at the techies, the young people. They don't know. They're just going where they, of course you want to live in The Hate, right? And they have the money to pay for it. My son's a tech, you know, so I don't want to point the finger. I'm pointing the finger at our city government. They didn't have a plan.
But really, there are plenty of plans. Next week's election is chock full of housing measures. One would authorize a $310 million bond to build more affordable housing. And already, most developers must pay an affordable housing fee or build affordable units in their new projects. I asked Lynn Bell from Climb Real Estate to drive me to the Shipyard. It's a massive new development in a quiet industrial neighborhood that feels a million miles from downtown. Bell says 30% of the new homes are set aside for people who earn less than the median income.
It was extremely important for this neighborhood to have affordable housing. It was extremely important for the community to create opportunities for residents of the community to be able to buy.
Especially important in a community that's been historically poor, environmentally toxic, and Black.
It's an issue here in San Francisco, and there's extremes of people that are mandating that they don't want any more development that is changing areas. But at the end of the day, you have to have it, because if you don't have sufficient housing, you're going to have an issue of affordability. It's a supply and demand question. The big thing is how do we do it?
And there will be more supply. Someday, this area with sweeping views of the bay will be home to more than 10,000 new condos and townhouses in a city that seems to be endlessly hungry for it. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd in San Francisco.
Well, we've been speaking with a lot of different people on our visit to San Francisco, including Barbara Boxer, the longtime California Democratic senator who is retiring. She's supporting Hillary Clinton for president, but I asked her about Bernie Sanders.
You think he could win a general election if he gets the nomination?
I'm not a, you know, a strategist, but most people say no. Who know?
And
I think
do you
that he'd
them?
Have very... I don't know. I would doubt in certain states that Bernie could carry the day.
You can hear more of our interview with Senator Boxer. If you miss it on the radio, it'll be at hereandnow.org today. We covered a lot of ground, including one of her biggest regrets in the Senate, not voting to confirm Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke.